This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back into it, San Diego. 4 o'clock hour getting underway here on Gwen and Chris. Just a couple of hours away from taking things on up the freeway to Los Angeles. Sammy Levitt's pregame show at 6:05 this evening. And then a little after 7 o'clock, it'll be Jesse and Tony and Padre Baseball against the Los Angeles Dodgers. First of a three-game series in La La Land. Teams split a pair in Korea. Couple of weeks ago, am I recall that?
I mean, it seems like 6 months ago.
It does seem like a while ago, right? It wasn't that long ago.
I had someone tell me today, actually, that their sleep pattern has still not recovered. And I don't blame them because
I'm sorry about that to whoever. Well, Major League Baseball should, you know, keep us in mind next time they want to do something like this.
Thank you. That's all I care about.
By the way, should I just go ahead and throw this out there for fun?
Uh-oh, what?
Padres sweep the series, they would move into a tie for first place with the Dodgers.
Oh, see, they control their own destiny this weekend.
That's right. They're down 3 games in the standings right now. Dodgers are off to a 10-5 start. Padres are in second place at 7-8. 1 game under 500. There was Kevin Acey's article today in the paper. He interviewed Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jake, somebody else. None of them knew what the Padres' actual record was.
That's
according to the story.
That's interesting, and I believe it. I believe it.
Like these guys, they were like, well, we know we're like a game or so around 500. That's kind of what they answered.
Even when
they didn't really know that they were 7-8.
I think that's really interesting because when I was in the clubhouse the other day, I actually noticed that there were no MLB Network was definitely not on one of their TVs.
Really? They don't keep MLB Network on in there?
No, I didn't see it. I saw a lot of like ESPN2. I saw a lot of college baseball. Saw a lot of live sports happening. Mm.
Yeah, you should have spent more time actually talking to the guys, though.
Yeah.
To avoid the wrath of Joe Musgrove. That interview and how Joe Musgrove punked Scraby a little bit later in the program. We're coming up on Chris versus the fans here, our daily sports trivia segment. Chance for you to qualify for a chance to win our grand prize. That would be the two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, plus 2 tickets to Cool and the Gang. They're backed by popular demand, multiple sold-out shows, the legendary funk group. Cool and the Gang, celebrate. That's them. They were celebrate. All right, I did it for you.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Celebrate now. Yeah, we're doing a little much on the singing today.
I'm into it.
They're coming back to the stage at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, the residency through 2024. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. I believe they're also working their way back to You, Babe. That was another song by Cool and the Gang.
Don't read the last part of that.
The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations. It's all home of legendary Vegas fun. Let's have some fun and play Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Questions are going to be interesting today.
You think?
Yes. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it. And you will get the first question for free today. Now, let's go to our first contestant. That contestant would be Zach. Hello, Zach.
How are you doing, guys?
Hi, Zach.
Good. How are you
Welcome
doing?
To the show.
Ready to play?
Yeah, first time player here.
First time player!
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate you backing me up on that one.
Yeah, you had it all to yourself there. I couldn't match you.
All right, Zach. Question number two. What pitcher has pitched the most innings in MLB playoff history?
Well, that's a tough one right there.
Clayton Kershaw,
he says.
Pretty good guess. Stay there, though. Stay there.
It's got to be somebody on the Yankees or the Braves. Something tells me it's John Smoltz.
Smoltzy.
Yeah. No good, Zach. You're still alive. Who was it?
It was Madison Bumgarner that 2014 postseason when he pitched basically every inning for the Giants.
Now, wait a minute now. What was the question?
Should have known that.
Hang on. What was the question? Go back to your question.
Ooh. Hold on.
I answered, and I think Zach answered. I thought what you said was who's pitched the most innings like all time.
You're right.
In the playoffs.
No, you're right. I did mean to ask for a single season.
You didn't ever say a single season. So there was no way either of us could have guessed that. I think you got to give us another question. I don't think you can advance Zach.
I'm going to advance
Zach. Based on that. No, you can't advance him. I had no chance to get the question correct because I wasn't even answering the right question.
I'm admitting fault for the question.
Yes. So just ask him another number two question. You can't advance him.
Sorry, Zach.
On a gimme. We already gave him the first one for free.
Sorry
about that, Zach. You're going to have to answer. Jeez. Go for another one.
Didn't realize that was the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Question number two again, Zach. Who's hit the most World Series home runs?
Oh, brother. History of the World Series?
Yes. This one is the yes.
All right. Scraby.
You got an answer, Zach?
I got no idea.
No idea. All right. Stay there, though.
What is it again? What players hit the most home runs in the World Series? Mickey Mantle, 18. Anybody knows that?
Sorry about that,
Sorry,
Zach.
Sorry, Zach.
Chris just wanted to crush your dreams, apparently.
I did. I'm trying to be fair to everybody out there. I'm not picking on Zach. But you can't advance somebody when I had no chance to answer the question right because you didn't ask it correctly.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Let's go to Chris. Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Are you there?
Plus, I'm sticking up for all Chris's.
Good afternoon.
Are you ready to play?
Very stately sounding contestant. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Do I need to be stately when I ask the question?
Can be.
What player was... I don't even know what that was. What player was nicknamed the human vacuum cleaner? Oh. Baseball player.
Yeah. Pete Rose.
He vacuumed up a lot of bets. But it wasn't the correct answer.
You almost made me chortle. It's Brooks Robinson.
It is.
Sorry to say.
I actually watched after he passed away earlier. Was it this year or late last year?
Yes, he just passed away recently.
Yeah. I watched a bunch of highlights of him, and he was very good.
He made some plays in the 1971 World Series against the Cincinnati Reds. I take it back. 1970 World Series that will never be forgotten.
Never be forgotten.
No, they won't. Most of the plays you're referring to are from that series.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they were great. So.
Yes, they were.
Let's go to our next contestant, Ted. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys. First time player.
First time player.
Time player. Player.
All right.
First time player.
Okay.
All right.
First time player. I'm sorry, Ted.
First
you're
time
doing...
player.
I just turned his mic off, everybody. I can't.
You got mad at me that I didn't support you last time.
All right, here we go. Question number two.
What'd you get?
What city did O.J. Simpson grow up in?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. California.
Los Angeles.
Stay not there. Correct. He's a San Francisco boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Or he was.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Ted.
Sorry, Ted. You know, I saw on CNN last night talking about the life and times of O.J. Simpson. Your guy, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, he had a really...
He was very good. Really good.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to even go back to what he said, but if you want to hear somebody put the whole O.J. case and everything that was happening in those times when he was found innocent and what team, you know, or what side Stephen A. Smith's on and everything that... Just look up him on CNN last night. If you're looking for some perspective on the whole OJ thing.
Yeah.
On no matter what side you happened to have been on.
Now, I know this is a dramatization of the OJ trial and everything, but have you ever seen The People versus OJ?
Yes.
It's a pretty good show.
It was okay.
Okay. It probably took some liberties and stuff.
Sure, it did. It was pretty good.
It explains it to you in a broad way.
Well, the thing is we don't remember, and I don't even remember. There was 30 years ago when that happened, and there was a lot going on in the world, and this trial was right in the... You have to put it in the proper, you know, scenario before you... Because I think most of us look back and go, how in the world was he found not guilty?
Yeah.
Like, incredible.
Well, the L.A. riots were like 2 years before
Stephen A. Smith puts it all in very good perspective. If you missed it on CNN, you can, I'm sure, find it on YouTube anywhere.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let's go to our next contestant.
Okay.
Let's go to Jason. Jason, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Are you ready to play?
Ready.
Right, oh, it's Friday the 12th. I'm just saying.
Guess what, Chris?
Do you have your Jason t-shirt on?
Of course I do. Sad yeah. Jason looking at the calendar saying Friday the 12th. I had to.
He actually has that t-shirt, Jason.
I do.
It's hard to believe, but true.
All right.
I believe it.
Yeah.
He believes it. All right. Here's question number one. We're going to stay with the nicknames. Whose nickname, this one's really easy. Whose nickname was Hammer and Hank?
Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron is correct. Thank you.
Or as Vince Scully used to call him, Bad Henry.
Bad Henry.
That's what
he
was going to do to the Dodgers.
I like that.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, but Dusty Baker being on deck is pretty cool.
That's the Hank Aaron home run.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
Bobby cool. Thompson's all-time famous home run for the Giants. You know, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. That one.
Yeah.
Willie Mays was on deck.
All right. Trivia questions for down the road.
There you go.
Here we go, Jason. Question number two. What Hall of Fame second baseman also won the 1984 National League MVP title?
Beat out a friend of mine for that.
A friend?
Get out of front of mine for that honor.
I'm gonna take Chris's advice. If I don't know it, I'm not gonna give him any hints.
No hints. Unfortunately, 1970s and 80s, I'm almost impossible to beat. Tony Gwynn, I think, always to this day should have won that year in 1984, but he lost to Ryne Sandberg of the Cubs. Thank you, though, Jason. Good to hear from you. Good plan. Play again. You'll win next time. You never know.
Let's go to our next contestant, Harry in Chula Vista. What's up, Harry?
I don't know where Tony finished.
First time player.
All right, Harry. Let's go get him.
All right. We're going to go to question number two. Here we go. This person was a Hall of Fame outfielder, a four-time Major League Baseball home run champ, and a three-time MVP. Name that player.
Oh my God.
I gave a lot of information.
Babe Ruth.
The Bambino, he says.
Stay there, Harry.
I need all those things. This isn't question one?
Two.
Oh, all right. Fair
Hall of Fame outfielder, four-time Major League Baseball home run champion, and three-time MVP.
Not a lot of three-time MVPs, but I don't have time to catalog them all through. I'll say Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols. You're still alive, Harry.
Good for you, Harry.
Jimmy Fox.
Oh.
Jimmy Fox.
Yeah, that's tough. Jimmy Fox. You're going back to like the 30s for that one.
But wasn't he a pretty famous baseball player?
Mm. Not that famous. Okay. I mean, probably should have been more famous based on his accomplishments.
All right.
Jimmy Foxx is not considered an all-time famous guy.
Well, Harry, you got lucky on that.
Yeah, you're good.
I thought Chris would have known that, to be honest.
You're good, Harry. You got a shot to win it here.
All right, here we go, Harry. Oh, question number three. What Japanese phenom pitcher helped the Red Sox win the World Series in 2007? What Japanese phenom pitcher helped the Red Sox win the World Series in 2007?
Suzuki.
Oichiro.
That's I'm going to say Daisuke Matsuzaka. That's all I got. Sorry, Harry. You came close.
Sorry, Harry.
You were there, but not quite.
All right,
Play again, though, Harry.
We're going tiebreaker, tiebreaker.
Oh, come on.
No, we have to, because we got a long big five today. Got some audio to play during it. We're going to use Tony Gwynn Sr. as our guy.
Tony Gwynn Sr. is our tiebreaker guy today?
Yes.
All right. I've heard of him.
I hope so. Let's go to our first contestant for the tiebreaker, and we're going to go with Greg in San Diego. Greg, you're on.
What's up? Hi, Greg.
Hi, guys. Greg. Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Good luck to you.
You ready to play a tiebreaker? Do you know how to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'll just explain quickly. I'm going to give Chris a number. He's going to have to answer it, or I'm going to ask Chris a question that has a number answer, and then the caller guesses whether or not the actual answer is higher or lower than what Chris guessed. So, Chris, here we go. How many triples did Mr. Gwynn have in his career?
In his career. By the way, he finished, Mr. Gwynn, as you properly called him, finished third. To Ryne Sandberg in the balloting in 1984.
Who was second?
Keith Hernandez.
Oh.
Interesting.
I'm going to be playing audio from him in the Big Five.
It's funny how things
that
all come together.
Yes.
All right, how many triples did Tony Sr. have? He had 75.
75. All right. Greg, is the actual answer higher or lower than 75?
Wow, he's such good here. I gotta go. I'll go higher.
Higher. Greg says higher. Greg is correct.
Hey, Tony had more than 75 triples. That's a lot of triples.
He had 85.
85. That was pretty close. But
and
that's good, Greg.
In his final year of his career, he did have a triple.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you what, man.
Tony knew how to run the bases.
Well,
he stole a ton of bases.
He stole 56 bases in 87.
Yes, he did.
That's a lot. He stole 37 from 1986 on, 37, 56, 26, and 40.
Yeah. Tony Gwynn, last I checked, was a Hall of Fame baseball player for a reason. And it's not just because he was one of the greatest hitters who ever lived. That's why, you know, he's even better than a Hall of Famer because he was the greatest hitter ever lived in our generation. But he also won how many Gold Gloves? And he also could run the bases.
And Silver Sluggers.
I mean, he did everything well. And then on top of that, it's the nicest guy you ever met.
I don't know how many more
positive things you can say about that man.
No, the things that I've learned about him over the years are just amazing. I wish I would have got to meet him. But when we have those birthday shows, when it's his birthday and people call in and tell their personal stories, like every story is different because
But they all share a similar, you know, theme.
Which is generosity.
Just him being generous with his time.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Greg, you win Chris versus the fans today. We check traffic. And then when we come back.
Yes.
The three most surprising teams in Major League Baseball so far this season, good and bad. Let you know when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. 425 is the time. Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Los Angeles getting ready for tonight's Padre-Dodger broadcast. He'll be rejoining us here shortly for the Big Five. At the Masters, Scottie Scheffler, two holes to play. Today, he's at 6 under par, tied with Bryson DeChambeau and Max Homa, who are both in the clubhouse at 6 under par. So that's where that stands. Tiger Woods finished at 1 over after an even par 72 in the second round today. Xander Schauffele is also at 1 over par. Padres are 7-8. You are what your record says you are. I don't think that's that surprising of a record 15 games into the season. I'd like it to be 9-6, you know, like everybody, but
yeah, me too.
7-8 is what it is. Not one of the most surprising records in baseball, though.
No.
Here are the three most surprising records in baseball so far.
I'm hoping you have the one in my mind on your list.
All right. Number three, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're 9-4. The reason that they're only number three is that we saw this act last year. The Pirates got off to a really fast start. I think they were in first place through the May or June, and then they collapsed completely the second half of the season. But still, it is the Pirates, and nobody ever picks them to win anything. And a 9-4 start's pretty good.
It is pretty good
for that young team. So That's my number three most surprising record. Number two most surprising record right now, the Houston Astros.
That's the team.
That's your team.
Yes, that's the team.
They're 4-10.
They're very bad.
What's going on with the Astros?
Josh Hader, I think, has blown a couple
Josh
saves.
Josh Hader hasn't looked great yet, but that's not it. They miss one Johnny Lee Dusty Baker. That's what I think anyway. I don't think people realize just how great of a manager Dusty Baker was. And he stepped away, and the Astros are really scuffling. It's early, and they're certainly talented enough to turn things around. But they're not just losing at home where they're 2-5. They're also 2-5 on the road. So the Astros have to be the second most surprising, but easily the most surprising record in baseball right now, in my estimation, is the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, they're pretty good right now.
They've won 7 in a row, first of all.
Yes.
Just when you thought that could never happen. They're 9-4 overall. They're just a half game back of Cleveland in the American League Central. I will say this. The Royals have taken advantage of a generous schedule that has had them at home for 10 of their first 13 games.
What the heck?
So we'll see how the
They've
Royals...
They've played the White Sox.
Yeah, that shouldn't count, right? Royals did just finish a sweep of the Astros. That's why both teams are on this list.
They scored 9 runs in the first inning yesterday.
The Royals with 11 hits.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. They had 9, you're right, they had 11 hits in the first inning yesterday. That tied the franchise record.
Tied.
I'm like, really? They did that before?
9 runs in the first inning.
11
pretty
hits.
Crazy. That's pretty crazy.
That's a big inning right there. So anyway, the Kansas City Royals definitely surprising right now. And let's also add this: Major League Baseball leader in plus minus run differential right now, the Kansas City Royals +39.
Wow.
So
they're scoring a ton of runs. Bobby Witt Jr. was 4 for 5, I think, 2 homers yesterday.
Yeah, how do you know that? Happen to be on your fantasy
five
team.
Five RBIs and a stolen base,
yeah,
Chris.
I'm aware. All right, so there's my three most surprising records in baseball so far. We take rejoins Big Five. It's a good one today. Among the items, they already hate Juan Soto in New York.
And Chris is happy.
We'll explain when we come back. Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up here with us on the Big Five. Mr. Scraby, and if you missed it earlier in the show, a classic Gwynn and Chris moment when Joe Musgrove guested on the show and pulled a prank on Scraby. If you missed it, you'll get another chance to hear that interview in the 5 o'clock hour. Or if you can't wait that long, then go check it out at your leisure, 973thefansd.com or the Odyssey app. We come to you from the Odyssey Palace Studios, also on YouTube. Just search 973 The Fan. You can watch the program. Padres Dodgers coming up tonight. Padres did make a move today. Pedro Avila is designated for assignment, I'm sorry to say, for the Pedro Avila fans out there.
I was once a Pedro Avila fan.
You once were?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought he was going to do more.
Yeah, it did not work out for Pedro, unfortunately. And they have recalled Adrian Morejon.
Correct.
I think I do a nice job pronouncing that.
You do.
Morejon.
It's not an easy name for me to say. Adrian Morejon.
Yeah, it's got
to
be Adrian.
Yes.
Yes.
Padre, what he wants to be called.
Yes. Padre lineup is in. Bogarts, Tatis, Jake, Machado, Profar, Kim, Campusano, Jackson Merrill, Tyler Wade. That's your lineup tonight, pretty much as it normally is against the Dodgers tonight. All right, traffic, yes. Traffic, no.
Actually,
Big Five.
No, let's go traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm going to start with something. I'm going to ask you guys something about me right now before we get into it, because I'm very excited about this game tonight. And I know it doesn't mean a lot in the scheme of things, but am I an idiot to continue to go up and down on this dumb roller coaster that I have been riding this entire season? Like, how do I stop doing this? I got excited on Tuesday. They lose. Wednesday, obviously, great day. And now I'm excited again. And I may get my heart broken again. What do you guys have to
say? You know the answer to this question. I mean, this is... it's a roller coaster. And if you stay on it for 162 games, you're going to throw up by the end of May.
I'm going to throw up by the end
yes,
of April.
Yes, it's a roller coaster. Yeah, I mean, you've got to relax. You got to root hard every game. And then when a game's over... You pile it in with the rest of them, and you get ready for the next game. That's how it works.
Just like actually,
Michael Jordan used to say that after. I mean, and if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. He used to say when they'd get a win or something, and he'd go, we just pile it in with the rest, and now we got another game.
One of the Scrabinators at the other night said, it's like being an alcoholic. You take it one day at a time.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, that's actually a really good
for you,
idea.
For you, maybe that'll
good
work.
Yeah.
Maybe right. Tony has some good.
Number five.
Oh, I thought Tony might want to get in there and actually answer your question.
I'm not
question.
Sure, because Tony tells me all the time I just need to calm down. So, Tony, do you have anything?
I don't know if I should participate in this.
Okay,
one.
That's why I left Tony out of this one.
I think I'll just let you do your thing.
Thank you. All right, number five. Do you remember when Fernando did this?
1-0 from Gonsolin with Rivas at second. Pitch to Tatis, hit in the air to deep left field. Forget it. This one is way out of here.
Wow.
On the roof of the left field pavilion and out of Dodger Stadium completely. His 7th home run in this building this year, and by far the longest, his 47th.
I was on Twitter the other day, and I saw a tweet that showed a plaque that is put up in Dodger Stadium showing his 467-foot blast a few years ago. And I chuckled because this is quite funny to me. A Padre with a plaque in Dodger Stadium? I can't even imagine the Padres putting a plaque in Petco Park. So, Chris, is that kind of a weird thing for them to do?
Well, no. I think it's a class move by the Dodgers. The Padres, for their part in this rivalry, they put up crying Kershaw emojis on the scoreboard.
I forgot
and,
about that.
You know, that's how they seem to handle this stuff. No, it's a class move. I mean, here's one thing that I always loved about both Vin Scully and Chick Hearn growing up in Los Angeles. They both did an amazing job of making me appreciate the talents and the abilities of the other players. They understood that the other team was a draw along with their own team. And there's nothing wrong with, paying homage to a guy that hit that home run. Willie Stargell hit two balls out of Dodger Stadium.
He has a plaque, too.
There might be a plaque out on the in the street somewhere for what he did. One of my greatest memories ever at the old Qualcomm was Barry Bonds homering basically off the scoreboard, a grand slam against Dennis Tankersley. Dennis Tankersley. He was a reliever for the Padres. Not for long
after that
grand slam. But no, I think you got to appreciate what other guys do. And I think that's all this is. And, I have no problem with it.
Tony, what do you think? Is this kind of a weird thing for the Dodgers to do?
Nope, it's not. I think, a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's so much history behind this organization. So, like, when somebody hits a ball the way Fernando hit it, they want to make sure they memorialize it, right? They did it. It's not just him. I think Willie Stargell, I think all the guys, I think there's like four guys that have hit the ball like out of the stadium. And so I think those guys have some type of, I don't know if they're all plaques or what they are, but I know they make note of all of them. So, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think that's how it should go.
I think Mike Piazza has one. I'm looking at it really quick.
I mean, when history is made in your stadium, even if it's not made by your team, there's nothing wrong with recognizing that.
Right.
And I think the Padres organization can go to school on the same thing if and when something like that happens here at Petco Park.
Tony said one word that made me change my entire tune about this, and you said historical. Because Dodger Stadium, no matter what we say, is a historical place in this country.
Yeah, hopefully one day Petco Park will be like that too, where it's like so much history behind it, right? They have to start doing things like that.
Like Kyle Schwarber, his 700-foot moonshot in the playoffs. Should we? That's the longest home run in Petco Park.
When we get to what, like 50 years, maybe you start to note some of these things. Stadiums and nowadays come and go, and so that's what makes Fenway so unique. That's what makes this place Wrigley. That's over 100 years in some of those cases, in Wrigley's case and in Fenway's case, of history there. So, there's a certain amount of time that has to go by, and, the stadium has to make sure it's still around in order to do those type of things.
Good points, guys. Good discussion.
Number four.
Now, I'm going to disappoint one of you in this next topic, and we're going to talk about the Yankees. They are 10-3 on the season, and the New York media is already done with Juan Soto walking instead of swinging the bat. Wednesday, the Yankees hosted the Marlins and found themselves down. I knew Tony
was... Wait till you hear this, Tony. You're not going to believe it.
Wednesday, the Yankees hosted the Marlins and found themselves down 5-2 in the bottom of the ninth. Juan Soto was at the plate. Guys on first and second, two outs, with Judge next, who is 0-3 and now hitting 178 on the season. The first pitch, ball in the dirt. Second pitch, a strike near the middle of the zone. Pitches 3-4, balls in the dirt. Fifth pitch was a strike on the upper outside corner. Then the last pitch was a ball in the dirt. He didn't even swing the bat once, which is what we're going to be talking about. Judge came up and promptly flied out to end the game. Here is Sal Licata of WFAN on our sister station in New York talking about this.
Took everything looking. Yeah. We'll get into that in a second.
So wait, let's get into it now.
Thank you for the call, Rich.
Get into what?
He's looking for a walk. Soto's looking for one. Now, I love Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And John Harper, my colleague at SNY, correctly predicted I would at some point go nuts about Soto looking for a walk. A walk is not as good as a hit. And when you have Judge struggling and you got the pitcher on the ropes, you got first and second in a spot right there where you need to do damage. Mm-hmm. You're Juan Soto. You need to do damage, not draw a walk. And Juan Soto's looking for a walk. Swing the bat, bro. That's what you want to get paid. Swing the bat.
It goes on, so you can go to WFAN on Twitter if you want to.
Can you tell Tony the width of my smile right now, listening to this?
Chris is very happy about this.
I'm not very happy.
When was this?
This was either this morning or
yesterday.
Yeah,
this actual thing was Wednesday in the bottom of the ninth, yes.
Yeah.
And so,
it took them 13 games in New York to start losing their minds over this.
Yes. Now, Tony, we talked about this here on this show, but isn't he now the guy who has to swing the bat?
Oh my God! I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I know. This is Sal Licata sparking.
I don't care who it is, Sal Licata or whoever Licata. I didn't see the pitches. If you're gonna have this reaction, these balls need to be right down.
I can tell you, I told Chris the two strikes were called strikes and they were inside the zone.
They were in the zone, but that doesn't mean they were.
That's
juicy
not what I asked
pitches.
You. Right. Right. For the reaction that Sal and yourself have about this. Are the pitches like right down the middle?
One of them was, the other was.
I don't believe you at all.
I'll send you the text I sent. I'll send you the text.
So either way, this is a little ridiculous, is it not?
It's crazy ridiculous that is the response for him walking. I might even be willing to be like, you know what? If we're like in July. And we know where kind of everybody is in terms of swinging the bat. Okay, I might be able to give you that. But on April, this would have been 10th of the season. We're already like, you need to swing the bat. The team is, what's the record again? It's
10-3.
Like,
and he's one
break,
of the reasons
Sal.
They're 10-3.
Sal, you know.
Sal and all of New York radio would drive any of us crazy. And this is what it's all about there, though, Tony. And this is why we said, you know, to Juan Soto basically on his way out of town, be careful what you wish for because you might just get it. And in New York, they're going to love you. They're going to build you up. They're going to put you on the side of buildings. They're also going to react like this when you walk with two men on in the bottom of the ninth inning, even though you've got
Aaron Judge,
one of the best players in the history of the game, on deck. And you don't want to get yourself out swinging at a bad pitch. So I'm not even going to be critical of Juan Soto at all. I'm just going to laugh because we knew this was going to happen, Tony, though. I mean, he's gonna make a mistake on the base pass just like every other player, and they are going to drill him for about a month when that happens.
And I will say the balls that he took were legitimate balls, and he should not have swung at his pitches.
The 1-0 pitch that is down but catches. Okay, that's the only pitch that I could understand you being like, he needs to swing the bat. But it was also 1-0. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the second pitch of the at bat.
Yeah.
That's
the other strike was a borderline strike.
Yeah, the other strike is on the top of the zone outside corner.
I said that.
But this is New York. This is it. Welcome to your playground, Juan.
Definitely be careful what you wish for, but this is nonsense, regardless
of
whether you are careful or not.
We got to get Sal on the show out here just to rile everybody up one day.
I mean, I don't want Tony to fight him.
Sal, you need to swing the bat. Knock it off.
I like how he says, swing the bat, bro.
You
gotta walk. You can't be walking.
You want to get paid.
Number three.
Again, July, when people got like 250 at-bats at this point, okay, I might be able to buy that. April 10th.
I agree with you.
I love it.
Stop it, Chris. You're poking the bear right now. SNY's from one New York baseball team to the other. SNY's Keith Hernandez, a former All-Star for the Mets and Cardinals, he never really shies away from giving his opinion. We've actually talked about him in the Big Five a couple times in the past, and that trend continued during yesterday afternoon's broadcast on SNY between the Mets and the Braves. Here is what they were talking about.
They will not come back here, the Mets, until the final road trip of the season.
Final week of the year. They're now going to play three games here in late September after the rainout was moved to September 26th.
Thanks to that glorious decision to play all the American League teams and cut back five games, two series, home and away, in division. I just do not understand that one bit.
Well, it's created more travel, less familiarity for the fans with the teams that you're competing with, and fewer head-to-head meetings to decide the division, which is a huge piece.
So there you go. That was on SNY. He do not understand.
He do not understand. And I'd also like to hear what Sal's response was.
Oh, yeah.
Juan Soto's looking for a walk, bro.
Announce the game, bro.
Chris, are they crying or do they have a point?
Oh, I don't know that they're crying at all. And Tony's going to speak to this better because he's the one that has to travel more.
He's the broadcaster.
That's for sure. But my thinking has always been that what they had, you know, in the recent years leading up to the last couple of years was about perfect. I enjoyed getting to play the Dodgers and the Giants and even, you know, unfortunately the Rockies, but whatever. I enjoyed having a few extra games against those teams. I think it built up the rivalry. Fans tend to get a little more excited about those matchups. And I didn't need to see the Yankees and the Red Sox every other year, because that means I also see the Royals and the Tigers every other year. And it wasn't imperative. I thought playing, you know, four or five teams each year from the American League gave us a nice little taste of it, and that was plenty. So I don't know that they're crying. But I kind of agree with them.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Tony? Do you think they have a point, or are they crying?
I think they kind of have a point. And, you know, Jesse and I were talking about this maybe last year. We checked in with each other at the end of the year, beginning of this year. I don't know how I feel about the new schedule. I really don't. It definitely, obviously, the travel part is the travel part. I might joke around with it, but it doesn't bother me all that much. But I do think there's something to play in your division and knowing those guys in your division like that. And it's the same thing with us. We won't see the Giants until September as well after playing them, you know, the first couple series of the year. So I don't know if I like that. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, but I certainly don't know. And I know we had a record number of, you know, people coming through the turnstiles last year. If that keeps up, it's going to be tough to continue to make this argument. But I kind of like, you know, even though that means I got to go to Colorado a few more times and watch some of those games at altitude. I still kind of like knowing your division a little bit more.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think you can make a direct line comparison and say, well, the reason there was more fans last year is because you played all the teams.
That's true.
You know, I mean, it just happened in my mind that there was great attendance last year. So
I do like them bringing the Yankees to town more often.
I know, but if you do that, you got to bring the Royals too. And that's the whole point. Everybody says interleague. People would always say interleague play is great because you get to see the Yankees and the Red Sox. But nobody ever says interleague play is great because you get to see the Mariners. And we always got to see the Mariners.
Hey, yeah, don't.
But you know what I mean?
That's a natural rival.
But you know what I'm saying here? You have to see all the American League teams, not just the, quote, good ones.
I'd rather see
the Giants and Dodgers again.
And it kind of left something for the imagination, right? It was rotating. You'd get the AL West, you'd get the AL Central, the AL East. I kind of like that. But, you know, we don't have it. But I certainly don't think they're crying about it. I think there's some good points about having it that way.
Did you know the new nickname for Rob Manfred on Twitter is Manfraud? Rob Manfraud?
Manfraud.
Why is he a fraud?
I don't know. People just love to.
I don't know if I like that.
I am not Manfraud.
Poor guy.
Number two.
All right. We've talked about the transfer portal so much, but I don't think we've ever talked about a guy who hasn't even played college football yet transferring twice or entering the transfer portal, but USC true freshman offensive lineman Jason Zandamella. Yeah, Zandamella plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal. He told On Three last night. The 6'3", 300-pound offensive lineman from Clearwater, Florida, was ranked as one of the top offensive linemen in the 2024 cycle, according to industry rankings. Now, here's where I'm going to go with this, Tony, because he committed to USC. He hasn't gone there yet, but now he's transferring to another school. Would you advise your own child to stay with their original decision?
Not like absolutely 100% without any, you know, question. I would say no. But depending on the circumstance, you know, I think that you entertain it. You know, I don't know exactly this. I mean, this is the second time this student has decided to transfer or be in the portal. So I don't know if that speaks to, you know, kind of a pattern, but I think in a perfect world, you know, assuming coach doesn't leave, I would like my child.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm going to start with something. I'm going to ask you guys something about me right now before we get into it, because I'm very excited about this game tonight. And I know it doesn't mean a lot in the scheme of things, but am I an idiot to continue to go up and down on this dumb roller coaster that I have been riding this entire season? Like, how do I stop doing this? I got excited on Tuesday. They lose. Wednesday, obviously, great day. And now I'm excited again. And I may get my heart broken again. What do you guys have to
say? You know the answer to this question. I mean, this is... it's a roller coaster. And if you stay on it for 162 games, you're going to throw up by the end of May.
I'm going to throw up by the end
yes,
of April.
Yes, it's a roller coaster. Yeah, I mean, you've got to relax. You got to root hard every game. And then when a game's over, you pile it in with the rest of them and you get ready for the next game. That's how it works.
Just like
actually, Michael Jordan used to say that after, I mean, and if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. He used to say when they'd get a win or something and he'd go, we just pile it in with the rest and now we got another game.
One of the Scribnators at the other night said, it's like being an alcoholic. You take it one day at a time.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, that's actually a really good for
you,
idea.
For you, maybe that'll
good
work.
Yeah.
Maybe right. Tony has some good.
Number five.
Oh, I thought Tony might want to get in there and actually answer your question.
I'm not sure because Tony tells me all the time I just need to calm down. So, Tony, do you have anything?
I don't know if I should participate in this.
Okay, one. That's why I left Tony out of this one.
I think I'll just let you do your thing.
Thank you. All right, number five. Do you remember when Fernando did this?
1-0 from Gonsolin with Rivas at second. Pitch to Tatis, hit in the air to deep left field. Forget it. This one is way out of here.
Wow.
On the roof of the left field pavilion and out of Dodger Stadium completely. His seventh home run in this building this year, and by far the longest, his 47th.
I was on Twitter the other day, and I saw a tweet that showed a plaque that is put up in Dodger Stadium showing his 467-foot blast a few years ago. And I chuckled because this is quite funny to me. A Padre with a plaque in Dodger Stadium? I can't even imagine the Padres putting a plaque in Petco Park. So, Chris, is that kind of a weird thing for them to do?
Well, no. I think it's a class move by the Dodgers. The Padres, for their part in this rivalry, they put up crying Kershaw emojis on the scoreboard.
I forgot
and,
about that.
You know, that's how they seem to handle this stuff. No, it's a class move. I mean, here's one thing that I always loved about both Vin Scully and Chick Hearn growing up in Los Angeles. They both did an amazing job of making me appreciate the talents and the abilities of the other players. They understood that the other team was a draw along with their own team. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, paying homage to a guy that hit that home run. I'm Willie Stargell hit two balls out of Dodger Stadium. I'm sure
he has a plaque, too.
There might be a plaque out on the in the street somewhere for what he did. You know, one of my greatest memories ever at the old Qualcomm was Barry Bonds homering basically off the scoreboard, a grand slam against Dennis Tankersley.
You know, Tankersley?
Yes, Dennis Tankersley. He was a reliever for the Padres. Not for long
after
that grand slam. But no, I think you got to appreciate what other guys do. And I think that's all this is. And, you know, I have no problem with it.
Tony, what do you think? Is this kind of a weird thing for the Dodgers to do?
Nope, it's not. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's so much history behind this organization. So, like, when somebody hits a ball the way Fernando hit it, they want to make sure they memorialize it, right? They did it. It's not just him. I think Willie Stargell, I think all the guys, I think there's like four guys that have hit the ball like out of the stadium, and so I think those guys have some type of, you know, I don't know if they're all plaques or what they are, but I know they make note of all of them. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think that's how it should go.
I think Mike Piazza has one. I'm looking at really quick.
I mean, when history is made in your stadium, even if it's not made by your team, there's nothing wrong with recognizing that.
Right.
And I think the Padres organization can go to school on the same thing if and when something like that happens here at Petco Park.
Tony said one word that made me change my entire tune about this, and you said historical. Because
yeah,
Dodger
yeah.
Stadium, no matter what we say, is a historical place in this country.
Yeah, hopefully one day Petco Park will be like that too, where it's like so much history behind it, right? That
yeah.
they have to start doing things like that.
Like Kyle Schwarber, his 700-foot moonshot in the playoffs. Should we, honestly, I mean, that's the longest home run in Petco Park.
I mean, when we get to what, like 50 years maybe, you start to note some of these things. You know, stadiums and, you know, nowadays come and go. And so that's what makes Fenway so unique. That's what makes this place, Wrigley, you know, that's over 100 years in some of those cases, in Wrigley's case and in Fenway's case, of history there. So, I mean, there's a certain amount of time that has to go by, and, you know, the stadium has to make sure it's still around in order to do those type of things. And so, yeah.
Good points, guys. Good discussion.
Number four.
Now, I'm going to disappoint one of you in this next topic, and we're going to talk about the Yankees. They are 10-3 on the season, and the New York media is already done with Juan Soto walking instead of swinging the bat. Wednesday, the Yankees hosted the Marlins and found themselves down. I knew Tony
was... Wait till you hear this, Tony. You're not going to believe it.
Wednesday, the Yankees hosted the Marlins and found themselves down 5-2 in the bottom of the ninth. Juan Soto was at the plate. Guys on first and second, two outs, with Judge next, who is 0-for-3 and now hitting 178 on the season. The first pitch, ball in the dirt. Second pitch, a strike near the middle of the zone. Pitches 3 and 4, balls in the dirt. Fifth pitch was a strike on the upper outside corner. Then the last pitch was a ball in the dirt. He didn't even swing the bat once, which is what we're going to be talking about. Judge came up and promptly flied out to end the game. Here is Sal Licata of WFAN on our sister station in New York talking about this.
Took everything looking. Yeah. We'll get into that in a second.
So wait, let's get into it now.
Hold okay, on, Rich, and thank you for the call,
wait,
Rich.
Get into what?
Is he looking for a walk? Soto's looking for... Now, I love Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And John Harper, my colleague at SNY, correctly predicted I would at some point go nuts about Soto looking for a walk. A walk is not as good as a hit. And when you have Judge struggling and you got the pitcher on the ropes, you got first and second in a spot right there where you need to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
You're Juan Soto. You need to do damage, not draw a walk. And Juan Soto's looking for a walk. Swing the bat, bro. That's you want to get paid? Swing the bat.
It goes on, so you can go to WFAN on Twitter if you want to.
Can you
see
tell
the whole
Tony
thing.
The width of my smile right now?
Tony,
listening to this,
Chris is very happy about this.
I'm not very happy.
When was this?
This was either this morning or
Wednesday?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
this
a couple
actual
days ago.
Thing was Wednesday in the bottom of the ninth. Yes.
Yeah.
And so
it took them 13 games in New York to start losing their minds over this.
Yes. Now, Tony, we talked about this here on this show, but isn't he now the guy who has to swing the bat?
Oh my God, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I know.
This is Sal Licata sparking.
I don't care who it is, Sal Licata or whoever Licata. I didn't see the pitches. If you're gonna have this reaction, these balls need to be right down.
I can tell you, I told Chris the two strikes were called strikes and they were inside the zone according
they
to
the They were in
tracker.
The zone, but that doesn't mean they were.
That's
juicy
not what I asked
pitches.
You. Right. Right for the reaction that Sal and yourself have about this. Are the pitches like right down the middle?
One of them was, the other was.
I don't believe you at all.
Okay,
I'm gonna go back and look.
I'll send you the text I sent. I'll send you the text.
So either way, this is a little ridiculous, is it not?
It's crazy ridiculous that is the response for him walking. I might even be willing to be like, you know what? If we're like in July. And we know where kind of everybody is in terms of swinging the bat. Okay, I might be able to give you that. But on April, this would have been 10th of the season. We're already like, you need to swing the bat. The team is, what's the record again? It's
10-3.
Like,
and he's one
break,
of the reasons
Sal.
They're 10-3.
Sal, you know.
Sal and all of New York radio would drive any of us crazy. And this is what it's all about there, though, Tony. And this is why we said, you know, to Juan Soto basically on his way out of town, be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it. And in New York, they're going to love you. They're going to build you up. They're going to put you on the side of buildings. They're also going to react like this when you walk with two men on in the bottom of the ninth inning, even though you've got
Aaron Judge,
one of the best players in the history of the game, on deck. And you don't want to get yourself out swinging at a bad pitch. So I'm not even going to be critical of Juan Soto at all. I'm just going to laugh because we knew this was going to happen, Tony, though. I mean, he's gonna make a mistake on the base pass just like every other player, and they are going to drill him for about a month when that happens.
And I will say the balls that he took were legitimate balls, and he should not have swung at his pitches.
The 1-0 pitch that is down but catches. Okay, that's the only pitch that I could understand you being like, he needs to swing the bat. But it was also 1-0. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the second pitch of the at-bat.
Yeah.
That's,
the other strike was a borderline strike.
Yeah, the other strike is on the top of the zone outside corner.
I said that.
But this is New York. This is it. Welcome to your playground, Juan.
Definitely be careful what you wish for, but this is nonsense. Regardless
of
whether you are careful or not.
We got to get Sal on the show out here just to rile everybody up one day.
I mean, I don't want Tony to fight him.
Sal, you need to swing the bat. Knock it off.
I like how he says, swing the bat, bro.
Swing the bat, bro.
You got to walk. You can't be walking.
You want to get paid.
Number three.
Again, July, when people got like 250 at-bats at this point, okay, I might be able to buy that. April 10th.
I agree with you.
I love it.
Stop it, Chris. You're poking the bear right now. SNY's from one New York baseball team to the other. SNY's Keith Hernandez, a former All-Star for the Mets and Cardinals, he never really shies away from giving his opinion. We've actually talked about him in the Big Five a couple times in the past, and that trend continued during yesterday afternoon's broadcast on SNY between the Mets and the Braves. Here is what they were talking about.
They will not come back here, the Mets, until the final road trip of the season.
Final week of the year. They're now going to play three games here in late September after the rainout was moved to September 26th.
Thanks to that glorious decision to play all the American League teams and cut back five games, two series, home and away, in division. Just do not understand that one bit.
Well, it's created more travel, less familiarity for the fans with the teams that you're competing with, and fewer head-to-head meetings to decide the division, which is a huge piece.
So there you go. That was on SNY. He do not understand.
He do not understand it. And I'd also like to hear what Sal's response was.
Oh, yeah.
Juan Soto's looking for a walk, bro.
Announce the game, bro.
Chris, are they crying or do they have a point?
Oh, I don't know that they're crying at all. And Tony's going to speak to this better because he's the one that has to travel more.
He's the broadcaster.
That's for sure. But my thinking has always been that what they had, you know, in the recent years leading up to the last couple of years was about perfect. I enjoyed getting to play the Dodgers and the Giants and even, you know, unfortunately the Rockies, but whatever. I enjoyed having a few extra games against those teams. I think it built up the rivalry. Fans tend to get a little more excited about those matchups. And I didn't need to see the Yankees and the Red Sox every other year, because that means I also see the Royals and the Tigers every other year. And it wasn't imperative. I thought playing, you know, four or five teams each year from the American League gave us a nice little taste of it, and that was plenty. So I don't know that they're crying. But I kind of agree with them.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Tony? Do you think they have a point, or are they crying?
I think they kind of have a point. And, you know, Jesse and I were talking about this maybe last year. We checked in with each other at the end of the year, beginning of this year. I don't know how I feel about the new schedule. I really don't. It definitely, obviously, the travel part is the travel part. I might joke around with it, but it doesn't bother me all that much. But I do think there's something to play in your division and knowing those guys in your division like
yeah.
that. And it's the same thing with us. We won't see the Giants until September
yeah.
As well after yeah. playing them, you know, the first couple series of the year. So I don't know if I like that. Now, listen, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, but I certainly don't know. And I know we had a record number of, you know, people coming through the turnstiles last year. If that keeps up, it's going to be tough to continue to make this argument. But I kind of like, you know, even though that means I got to go to Colorado a few more times and watch some of those games at altitude. Or, you know, I still kind of like knowing your division a little bit more.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think you can make a direct line comparison and say, well, the reason there was more fans last year is because you played all the teams.
That's true.
You know, I mean, it just happened in my mind that there was great attendance last year. So
I do like them bringing the Yankees to town more often.
I know, but if you do that, you got to bring the Royals too. And that's the whole point. Everybody says interleague. People would always say interleague play is great because you get to see the Yankees and the Red Sox. But nobody ever says interleague play is great because you get to see the Mariners, and we always got to see the Mariners.
Hey, yeah, don't.
But you know what I mean?
That's a natural rival.
But you know what I'm saying here? You have to see all the American League teams, not just the, quote, good ones.
I'd rather see
the Giants and Dodgers again.
And it kind of left something for the imagination, right? It was rotating. You'd get the AL West, you'd get the AL Central,
you'd get
the AL East. I kind of like that, but, you know, we don't have it, but I certainly don't think they're crying about it. I think there's some good points about having it that way.
Did you know the new nickname for Rob Manfred on Twitter is Manfraud? Rob Manfraud?
Manfraud.
Why is he a fraud?
I don't know. People just love to.
I don't know if I like that.
I am not Manfraud.
Poor guy.
Number two. All right. We've talked about the transfer portal so much, but I don't think we've ever talked about a guy who hasn't even played college football yet transferring twice or entering the transfer portal, but USC true freshman offensive lineman Jason Zandamella. Yeah, Zandamella plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal. He told On3 last night. The 6'3", 300-pound offensive lineman from Clearwater, Florida, was ranked as one of the top offensive linemen in the 2024 cycle, according to industry rankings. Now, here's where I'm going to go with this, Tony, because he committed to USC. He hasn't gone there yet, but now he's transferring to another school. Would you advise your own child to stay with their original decision?
Not like absolutely 100% without any, you know, question. I would say no. But depending on the circumstance, you know, I think that you entertain it. You know, I don't know exactly. This is the second time this student has decided to transfer or be in the portal. So I don't know if that speaks to, you know, kind of a pattern, but I think in a perfect world, you know, assuming coach doesn't leave, I would like my child to stay put and kind of work through it. You know, it's not necessarily supposed to be easy, Now, you know, you exhaust all avenues in terms of staying and it's not working out. Okay, then you entertain it. But I don't want it to be, at least from as a father for my children, I don't want them just to bounce because it got a little tough.
Yeah.
In year one, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Chris, I know you don't have any kids, but what would you advise someone close to you?
Well, I like what Tony said. I mean, I think, you know, you don't bounce every time something gets a little rough. Having said that, I can understand why a lot of kids would commit somewhere and then leave. For example, if you committed to the University of Kentucky to play basketball, why should you have to go there now?
Yeah.
John Calipari is no longer there.
Right.
One last thing on this. I think the transfer portal system is broke. I don't have a solution for it. I like the fact that kids have the ability to move around, but I think it's gotten a little bit crazy and out of hand.
Yes.
And I don't have enough time probably to even suggest what they could do differently. You know?
Can do a podcast about that if you want.
I don't know that. Thank you.
I was waiting for the rejection. But
yeah,
you didn't give me one.
I don't know that maybe sitting out a year isn't the world's worst thing. Again, and I know that that's putting toothpaste back in the tube. And if you transfer two or three times, maybe you can get a couple extra years of eligibility to sit out. But
yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think
maybe
something's got to slow this down a little, Tony. I mean, these kids have no. You know, not everybody, but a lot of these kids have no loyalty at all to the program they're playing in, and I think it makes it difficult on coaches and the universities too.
Yeah, so they'll have to. They need to. They'll come. I think that the. I think sounds like they're trying to come up with something that is, you know, a deterrence from just hopping into the portal. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe you still have to sit out a year, but you don't use that year of eligibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe they can do that. I don't know.
I don't know how that whole thing. I don't know who's going to make that decision, but I certainly agree. It's definitely not working the way it should.
Although it does have one of the coolest names out there, Transfer Portal.
You like that.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm glad you like that.
Like, it makes me think that they just, like, jump into a portal and then they end up somewhere
else.
Yeah,
we got you. We got you.
Oh, you do?
You want
me to explain it a little bit more, Chris?
Okay. No need.
Number one.
The portal usually has, like, an oval shape to it.
Really? Yeah. Stars and hyperspace.
No. Francisco Lindor is having a really tough start to the Mets season. Currently, he is 5-for-51 with a homer and two RBIs on the season. And recently, we talked about Lindor's wife receiving threats because of this, and none of us agree with that in any sort of way. But this, I think we can debate. Mets fans are pretty split right now with how to handle Lindor tonight when they return home. A fan group even tried to spread the word to give him a standing ovation to show him that he is supported. Other fans are like, no way, he's getting booed. So, Chris, would you
booed
Lindor if you were a Mets fan?
I would cheer him. I mean, this is I don't even need to go here. There was somebody, and Tony, I don't know if you remember, it might have been with the Phillies.
Trey Turner.
Thank you. All right.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. That's a great example of it. This guy was having a major tough time, and the Philly fans, of all people, gave him an ovation and made him feel at home. And he snapped out of it and started slugging the ball all over the ballpark. I'm not saying that's the only reason why. But if you're a Met fan, a true Met fan, you root for Francisco Lindor as long as he's on your squad. And that means through the good times and bad times. Now, you can say you're upset, you can be disgruntled, and man, my goodness. But I think it's totally ridiculous. And this notion that his wife is getting threatening texts and emails and things.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We have gone bananas in this society, and this is just another example of that. Not only that, Francisco Lindor has a pretty good proven track record, Tony, and I'd be willing to stick with this guy for a little more than 50 at bats. He's pretty good normally.
Tony, your question is, I know you're going to boo him, so how loud would you boo him? I'm just kidding. What do you have to say about this?
Listen, I don't think it should be.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is Manny Machado.
Lined and caught at third by Machado.
The Padres play here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Program they're playing in, and I think it makes it difficult on coaches and the universities too.
Yeah, so. They'll come. I think sounds like they're trying to come up with something that is, you know, a deterrent from just hopping into the portal. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe you still have to sit out a year, but you don't use that year of eligibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe they can do that. I don't know.
I don't know how that whole thing. I don't know who's going to make that decision. But I certainly agree. It's definitely not working the way it should.
Although it does have one of the coolest names out there, Transfer Portal.
You like that?
It's pretty awesome.
I'm glad you like that.
Like, it makes me think that they just, like, jump into a portal and then they end up somewhere.
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, you do? You want me to explain it a little bit more, Chris?
Okay. No. No need.
Number one.
Yeah, we got you. The portal usually has, like, an oval shape to it.
Really? Yeah. Stars and hyperspace.
No. Francisco Lindor is having a really tough start to the Mets season. Currently, he is 5-for-51 with a homer and 2 RBIs on the season. And recently, we talked about Lindor's wife receiving threats because of this, and none of us agree with that in any sort of way. But this, I think we can debate. Mets fans are pretty split right now with how to handle Lindor tonight when they return home. A fan group even tried to spread the word to give him a standing ovation to show him that he is supported. Other fans are like, no way, he's getting booed. So, Chris, would you
booed
Lindor if you were a Mets fan?
I would cheer him. I mean, this is I don't even need to go here. There was somebody, and Tony, I don't know if you remember. It might have been with the Phillies.
Trey Turner.
Thank you. All right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's a great example of it. This guy was having a major tough time, and the Philly fans, of all people, gave him an ovation and made him feel at home. And he snapped out of it and started slugging the ball all over the ballpark. I'm not saying that's the only reason why. But if you're a Met fan, a true Met fan, you root for Francisco Lindor as long as he's on your squad. And that means through the good times and bad times. Now, you can say you're upset, you can be disgruntled, and man, my goodness. But I think it's totally ridiculous. And this notion that his wife is getting threatening texts and emails and things.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We have gone bananas in this society, and this is just another example of that. Not only that, Francisco Lindor has a pretty good proven track record, Tony, and I'd be willing to stick with this guy for a little more than 50 at bats. He's pretty good normally.
Tony, your question is, I know you're going to boo him, so how loud would you boo him? I'm just kidding. What do you have to say about this?
Listen, I don't think the whole stadium should boo him. But if there are some folks that feel the need to boo, it's kind of part of, you know, being the best player on a high profile team, right? I don't think everybody should. I think, you know, those who want to should, those who don't should, and to do what they do, and I think that'll kind of be what it is. You definitely shouldn't be giving up on Francisco. As Chris said, his track record is quite lengthy in terms of being a dude that gets it going. 51 at bats is just crazy to me, again. So
I think Tony becomes more annoyed with the fans' overreaction each year.
I'm not even annoyed. It's just crazy. Like, why go through this every year?
I wonder if somebody could go out there and find a 50 at bat representation anywhere through his career and see what the biggest slump your dad, Tony, had over a 50 game span.
I'll look it up.
I bet you he had a 10 for 50 in there, or even less.
Oh, for sure.
Even less. 10 for 50 would still be a 200 average. I bet he had an 8 for 50 somewhere in there. He's one of the greatest hitters in the history of the sport.
I'll see if I can find that information. We'll give that to you on the other side if I can, and then we'll get you set for tonight's game. Joe Musgrove still in the happy hour, so that's all ahead on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.